flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Last hour of this final legitimate Football Friday show of the year. Man, it flies by. Best time of the year, but man, what a season. Here we are with our team in the NFC Championship game Sunday at 3. As mentioned, you can listen to the game right here on the Team 980, also on 106.7 The Fan, our sister station. We've got the national call, Ian Eagle, Kurt Warner in the booth on the NFC title game Sunday at the Link. By the way, the weather looks great. Cloudy, 38 degrees. It'll be interesting to see if the field is in good condition after the snow game last week. It's been frigid, as we know, along basically everywhere, and probably hasn't been above freezing for several days in Philly. It'll be interesting to see if that impacted the field condition at all, but Sunday, and look, we're going to warm up a little bit. I mean, 40 on Sunday here is going to feel like 70 after what we've been through, and it's going to be 43 here Sunday. 40 and 38 looks like in Philadelphia on Sunday with just cloudy skies, but no precipitation as of now. So that is, that's good. I would not have wanted to see this game decided by weather. Yeah, you know, just out of curiosity, Denton, if Washington had to play Philadelphia last week in that snowstorm, how would Washington have fared on that field in that weather?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was wondering about that on Monday. I was like, what would it have looked like in the snow? Because we've seen the cold, and the cold is not a factor for Jaden and this team, but I don't think we've ever seen him play in the kind of snow that they had. I mean, you could even watch Matt Stafford last week. He was struggling to throw the football. I mean, Jalen Hurts struggles rain or shine or snow. It doesn't matter the precipitation with him to throw down the field. But Matt Stafford, who's very good at throwing the ball down the field, he was struggling. So it did worry me a little bit about the potential of weather this week. I'm very glad that that's a what-if scenario and not a let's-go-see-what-happens scenario.
Look, wind is the most impactful weather for offense. You know, quarterbacks will tell you that. Offensive people will tell you wind is the thing that certainly affects the passing game the most. A snowy field or a wet field sometimes favors the offense. The receivers know where they're going. You know, I think it's interesting, and I don't know if anybody's ever done anything on this. I would bet you some of the worst weather games, snow games in particular, have been much higher scoring than the average, or I bet a lot of those games went over the total. The game on Sunday did, 28-22. You know, and by the way, most of those points, right, were scored in the second half when the snow was at its worst, because the first half, it was 13-10. Yeah, more points. There were 15, 12, 27 points scored in the second half of that game. And the Rams moved the ball up and down the field their final two drives and obviously had a chance late to win the game. Fortunately, you know, not one brutal weather game in Jaden Daniels' first postseason run. You know, there was no super cold game In Tampa, obviously not in Detroit, and there won't be a super cold game or a bad weather game outdoors in Philadelphia. If they had had to play at home, well, we would have had, you know, the same thing. We would have had snow last Sunday. Not a lot of it, not like Philly, but it would have been cold and, you know, a wet track. There will be... He's going to play a lot of playoff games, knock on wood, stays healthy, over the next, you know, 8 to 10 years. There's going to be a bad weather game or two along the way because he'll play, certainly we know, several of those games at in Landover, outside. All right, this game, one of the reasons I wanted to do this is because I think it's an interesting, actually, if we did a top 10, it would probably be even more interesting. But there is no doubt that the Eagles, and Denton talked about this, we've talked about it all year, but he talked about it when he put Philadelphia where he put him in the final four rankings. They have just an absolute, incredibly talented roster. I mean, you know, the Howie Roseman deal, I mean, Dotson, that trade, everybody, oh, we got over on Howie Roseman, or we got... No, Howie Roseman knows what he's doing in building a roster. This is the most complete roster in the NFL. And by the way, that includes some of the depth on this roster as well. And if we were to take just 1 through 53 and rank the top 53 players in the game, they'd probably have 40 of them. That's not an exaggeration. They'd probably have 40 of them. Or if you just took the top 22, or top 11 on offense, top 11 on defense, they'd have 80% of them. So let's rank the non-quarterbacks, because Jaden would be number one on this list if I were ranking the players in this game. And Jalen Hurts would not be on this list. But let's look at the non-quarterbacks in this game, Denton, and ranking the top five. Number one and number two are easy in some order. My number one is Saquon Barkley. Your number one is who?
The number one is also Saquon Barkley. Number one and two, you're right, pretty definitive, and I think the order in which they are in is pretty definitive. He's an MVP candidate for a reason, MVP finalist for a reason, so I got Saquon Barkley at one.
I got Barkley at one, and of course, Jalen Carter at two, as you do. So who's number three?
I have Terry at number three. I look at more so the way that they're playing in the postseason, not just based off of potential, so I give Terry the slight edge. Over A.J. Brown, I will let you know he's going to come up on my list because you do have to factor in how good A.J. Brown has been throughout the course of the season. But the guy that's playing the best right now in the postseason between the two is Terry. I think Terry makes huge plays when called upon and when needed. You know, that fourth down, obviously touchdown last week against Detroit was awesome, but that fourth down play where he's doing that short little drag all the way across the screen, it was brilliant. So I got Terry at number three.
I have a player that I go back to Brazil Friday night, the opening weekend of the season, and I came in here on that Monday and said, I don't know who 53 is. His name is Bon, but he was the best player on the field in that game against the Packers. He ended up making first team All-Pro. This was a guy that had never played middle linebacker before, was a low-level paid free agent from New Orleans, who Vic Fangio watched tape on and said, this dude can be one of the middle linebackers in the game. Zach Bond has been a major factor this year. He made first team all pro, 150 tackles, 11 TFLs, you know, just constant pressures. He had 5 forced fumbles, had an interception, and played, by the way, 95% of the snaps until week 18 when he sat and rested heading into the postseason. Their middle linebacker, number 53, Zach Bond, is the third best non-quarterback in this game. Who's your number four?
Number four is A.J. Brown. Despite the fact that they haven't thrown the ball to him a ton in the postseason, I do have a feeling that they're going to target him immensely this weekend, which you'll see those numbers very much elevate. You know, this Commanders defense, Kevin, has done a really good job not allowing massive home run balls, but A.J. Brown is a threat in that regard. Lattimore didn't play great against him the last time these two teams played. I do think that'll be a little bit better, but A.J. Brown he's massive in size, great athleticism, you know, big, long, strong hands, long arms. Like, he is very, very terrifying to match up against, so I have A.J. Brown at number four.
I have Terry at number four. I also have him ahead of A.J. Brown, but A.J. Brown is in a mix with kind of others right now for my number five. But yeah, Terry's obviously proven a lot this year. You know, statistically, he wasn't up there, but he's a second-team All-Pro. And by votes, he was a second-team All-Pro ahead of A.J. Brown. And let's face it, there is a better chance that Terry's going to have a major impact on this game. I think, look, not by a lot, but a slightly better chance that Terry has a bigger impact on this game than A.J. Brown, because I'm hesitating here. A.J. Brown blocks, by the way, for those of you who look at him reading on the a book on the sideline, looking disinterested, looking unhappy because of the three total catches in the two games. I give this guy a lot of credit. Their receivers block. A.J. Brown, for whatever his issues have been here and there, on game day, he is a physical warrior, and he's a hell of a football player. Terry's got a better chance of making an impact as a pass catcher with Jaden Daniels on Sunday than A.J. Brown does with either Hurts or Pickett. So I've got Terry ahead of A.J. Brown at number four. You've got A.J. Brown at four. My number five, I have an issue here with. Wait a minute. You've got your top four, right?
Yeah, I got my top.
You went Barkley, Carter, Terry, A.J. Brown.
Yes.
I've gone Barkley, Carter, Bond, Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
All right, who's your number five?
My number five, maybe this is a little off the beaten path, Kevin. My number five is Austin Ekeler. I think when Austin Ekeler was healthy against Philadelphia, he was arguably the best player on the field for Washington. It's the one game where Jaden Daniels didn't look exceptional. It was his, quote, rookie game, if you will. Austin Ekeler really was able to take advantage of the defense. I think the kind of player that he is really makes Philadelphia's defense vulnerable. We didn't see him in that second matchup. I think Austin Ekeler is going to have a big-time impact this weekend. I think when he's healthy, he is just as good as they come. So I like Austin Ekeler. I got him at number five.
Look, there's no doubt Ekeler has been a major factor since coming back. They missed him when he was out, and he'll be a factor on Sunday. I don't think he's the fifth best non-QB in the game because of the players, other players Philadelphia has. You know, they've got Brown, they've got Lane Johnson. He's the best right tackle, or certainly among the best right tackles in the game. They've got Jordan Mailata, who made second-team All-Pro and was PFF's number one left tackle on the season this year per PFF. You know, their offensive line is awesome. They've got other players on defense that you could certainly consider. But I will go Lane Johnson. The reliability of this guy, he really kind of remains a bit in a class by himself right now at the right tackle position. I'll go Lane Johnson as the fifth best player in this game on Sunday. But I had written down Brown, Mailata. I also had Luvu written down as a possibility as a top five non-QB. I love your Ekeler pick in terms of the importance he'll play on the field. Philadelphia is loaded, but Washington is the team with the best quarterback on the field, and I think the best coaching staff on the field, although I think the best coordinator in this game is probably Vic Fangio. We've mentioned before that rookie quarterbacks have not made it to the conference championship game that much. Jaden Daniels becomes number six on the list of quarterbacks to make it to a conference championship game. The others to make it to a conference championship game, and we've gone through this list before, but you go back to, they've all happened in recent years. Sean King in 1999 with the Buccaneers, they beat the Redskins in the divisional round and then lost to the Rams in the NFC championship game. They had a dominant defense on that team. Ben Roethlisberger in 04, dominant defense. They ended up losing to the Patriots in the AFC title game. Joe Flacco made it with the Ravens in 2008, a defensive-led team. They lost to the Steelers in the AFC title game. Mark Sanchez, a dominant defense for the Jets in 2009. They lost to the Colts in the AFC title game. Brock Purdy in 2022 with the 49ers. Dominant defense, dominant run game. And if you recall, he ended up tearing his UCL early in that game. Then they had Josh Johnson come in. He suffered a concussion, and then Christian McCaffrey was taking wildcat snaps the rest of that game. It created the rule that the quarterbacks now, teams now have that emergency third if necessary. And Philadelphia won that game 31-7. What would have happened had Purdy stayed healthy? The 49ers certainly had a chance to win that NFC title game on the road with Brock Purdy. But Jaden's the first to go into a title game of the six, having been the reason that his team's in the championship game. Not only as a regular season quarterback, but as a playoff quarterback as well. By the way, the quarterbacks in those games, 0-5, right, before Jaden on Sunday, 1-4 against the number, if you're interested in that. The only quarterback to have been close and to have covered the number was Sean King in 1999. They lost to the Rams, the greatest show on turf, who nobody could stop. The Rams had scored 58 points in the divisional round and then scored only 11 in the 5-point win over Tampa. They were a 14-point favorite over the Bucs in that NFC title game and won 11-6. Washington is a 6-point underdog against Philly on Sunday. The other championship game we have not talked about, Denton, let's do that right now. I've said to you this week, I'm feeling the Bills can do it. I like the Bills to win the game in terms of just analyzing the game. From a betting perspective, I'm not really sure because there is a lot of Buffalo action on this game. A lot of the public believes that Buffalo can win this game, and they believe the line is wrong. I think there are a lot of bettors that believe Buffalo should be the favored team even on the road. I think the Bills have a really good chance to go into Arrowhead. I mean, if they can run the football like they did last week against Baltimore's tough defensive front, I think that they will outscore Kansas City, something like 27-23, 26-21, something like that. But I like Buffalo's chances. I mean, it's not going to shock me. Going against Mahomes is dangerous business, and it's not profitable business. But it's bad business. But I like Buffalo's chances. I've liked them since they beat Baltimore. I thought the winner of that game would win at Arrowhead. So I'm going to stick with Buffalo to win the AFC title game.
I hope you're right, just because it would be fun to see Josh Allen in a Super Bowl. It would be interesting to see Haley Steinfeld in the Super Bowl. Does she get the Taylor Swift cover?
Well, maybe. You love Haley Steinfeld, don't
I do
you?
Love Haley Steinfeld. Well, I just love that they are like a normal couple and they're not like, mm-hmm. Just glued to the camera, but also, potentially then Taylor Swift could perform at the halftime show. She has a song with Kendrick Lamar. I think the NFL would like that. But I can't bet against Kansas City. Call it devil's magic, call it just Mahomes being one of the greatest ever. There is something about the team that when push comes to shove in the postseason, they always find ways to get it done. And then I told you this yesterday, selfishly, in my perfect scenario, my fantasy booking scenario, it's number 5 on our roster that snatches the crown off of Mahomes' head, not Josh Allen. So, there is an element of that I would kind of lean towards as well. But really, if you just look at this game in a vacuum, as great as Josh Allen has been, I just happen to trust Mahomes and Kelsey. When they're in the playoffs, they're on a different level than everybody else.
They were last week. It's like, they get bored during the regular season, and then it's lookout. All right, when we come back, I've got my smell test picks for Championship Sunday, and then we will turn it over to all of you. We want phone lines loaded up at 301-230-0980. This is the first time together we've had a chance to predict an NFC championship game with our team in it. I want your final score prediction, but I also want a footnote, something that you believe about this game more strongly than anything else. All right, 301-230-0980. You can start lining it up on the phones right now. Who do you like? Your final score prediction and a footnote, the thing that you feel real, you've been telling friends all week, this is going to happen. Eckler's going to have a big game. Jaden's not throwing a pick. Or maybe it's that you like Philadelphia and for the first time, Washington's offense doesn't play a clean game. You can come with anything you want. We're ready for it. 301-230-0980. And we'll have our predictions with our key footnotes as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Want to tell you about Window Nation. Heating costs are getting out of control. Of course, the cold weather has something to do with that. We may get a brief respite the next few days, but cold weather comes back late next week. If you want to save money and you've got older windows, I recommend Window Nation. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com. You'll save big with 60% off on all windows, plus zero interest and no payments for 2 years. Window Nation's products are built to protect your home with top quality insulation and seals and often outperform the expensive guys, so you'll save money on utility bills year round. Plus, their windows come with a lifetime warranty. They can be installed in a day or less, and with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau, you can absolutely trust Window Nation. Their sale ends January 31st. Again, 60% off all windows. Zero interest, no payments for 2 years. By the time you start paying for these windows, you'll be paying the rate of 60% off with no interest charged in the year 2027. Don't miss out on your chance to save. Call them at 866-90-NATION. Go to windownation.com. Mention my name. They'll come out and give you a free, no obligation, no pressure in-home estimate. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. Let's get to my smell test. All right, last week I gave out just one play for the four games. There just wasn't a lot there to like. I gave out the Houston-KC under, and it got there. The total was 41.5. Game was 23-14. That's 37. Another winner. I haven't had a losing weekend record-wise in the last 14 weeks. That's 3.5 months. I know that is hard to believe. Because I know that if somebody told me, yeah, I'm hitting, I haven't lost in 14 consecutive weekends, I would not believe that person. Just like, don't ever believe somebody who says they're hitting at 80%, you know, against the number. That's not possible. It is for 2 or 3 weeks, not for an entire season. But Denton knows these picks are documented. I do it here on the show every Friday. Sometimes I'll add a Thursday pick on Thursdays. Sometimes I'll add a pick on Mondays. And occasionally, before kickoff, I'll take a pick off. But the last 14 weeks, 12 weeks, I have won more games than lost. And the other two were 500 weeks. So not 1 week in the last 3.5 months where I've given out more losers than winners. So let's keep it going. For the season, by the way, 18 games above 500. That's the record. The early part of the season did not go well for me at all, especially in college, although the NFL wasn't much better. So let me give you a bit of a sense of what's going on in these games betting-wise. There are definite public leans on Washington and Buffalo, believe it or not, the two underdogs. Washington's getting 6, Buffalo's getting 1.5, but there's a lot of sharp money both ways. So I'm not giving out a side for either one of these two games. First of all, from just an analysis standpoint, and that never seeps into my smell test, as most of you know, I actually like both underdogs to win outright. I do, but it really doesn't fit the perfect sort of contrarian handicapping philosophy, but the unders in both games do. You know, these standalone games, typically favorites and overs are what public bettors like to play. Interestingly, they're leaning a little bit on the underdogs in both of these games as of now, but they are heavily on the overs in both games. The Washington-Philadelphia total right now is 48. There are some 47.5s out there. I'm going to take the most favorable number. That's 48. I'm going to go under 48 in that game. Remember, the last time they played, these two teams scored 69 points. It was 36-33. In the Buffalo-Kansas City game, the number is 48 as well. Just looked. I see some 48.5s out there. So I'll steal a 48.5. And they are playing the over in this one. The last time these two teams played, it was 30-21, and it was a 51 total in Buffalo. Buffalo last week went over the total in their game against Baltimore. Washington went over the total in their game against Detroit. Philadelphia went over the total in their game against the Rams. So public, typically, it's hard to bet on unders, man. It's painful to root for the clock to run with no points. That's harder to do than to root for big plays and touchdowns. I'm going under 48 in Washington, Philadelphia, and under 48.5 Buffalo, Kansas City. Those are the two championship weekend plays. Denton, do you have a best bet for the weekend?
I mean, I did dabble with the idea of that Saquon Barkley over. I actually have Jalen Hurts throwing a pick. I know he doesn't throw a lot of them, Kevin, but I do think there's going to be a situation late in the game where it's going to be close, and they're going to kind of look at him and say, you need to press a little bit, or he is going to go on his own and press a little bit, and I think he is going to turn the football over. I'm waiting if I can get to some props to where I can actually decide who's going to pick the ball off, because I do have that for you, but I think I'm going to save that for our official predictions as to who I think comes down with a big game potentially sealing interception. But I do think Jalen Hurts throws a pick, and you can get that at positive money. Plus 126 is what I grabbed it at.
All right. Phone lines are packed. Stay there. We're going to come back. We're going to give you our predictions on the NFC Championship game. And a key footnote or two. I want your prediction on the game, and I want something that you feel very strongly will happen, will happen on Sunday in the game. 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com. All right, here we go. 301-230-0980. Home stretch. And then we got to sit and wait until Sunday at 3 o'clock. But we got programming here all day long, all weekend long. And again, we'll have the game here, 3 o'clock kick. But programming starting early in the morning with Earl Forsey will take you all the way up to the game. On 980, we will, you know, have the Maryland-Indiana game at noon, but you can get all of the pregame coverage on 106.7 The Fan. But Ian Eagle, Kurt Warner, Ross Tucker on the national call right here on Sunday. All right, time to get to our predictions with a key footnote, something that you feel real strongly about. I'll kick it off, Denton. I like Washington to win this game. You know, Washington's only been in one road NFC championship game, and they got shut out by the Giants in January of 1987. The other four NFC Championship games they've played in. They won them all at home. Beat Dallas twice, beat Minnesota, and clobbered Detroit. Their margin of victory in those games, 18.5 points. But this game's not at home. Man, it would be nice if it were, but I think it's going to be more thrilling to send the Philadelphia faithful home really sad and angry. I like Washington 24-17. There are a couple of things that I like about this game. Number one, I think our team is the team that can come back if we're down. We've proven it over and over again, including against this team, being down 21-7 at the end of the first quarter. Down 27-14, down by 13 points at the end of the third quarter. Coming back is something that Jaden Daniels can do and will do if they get behind. I don't think Philadelphia can come back from two scores down. I don't think they're built that way. Look, if there's plenty of time in the game and we're talking about, you know, a 13-3 deficit midway through the second quarter, they can. They don't have to get out of their, you know, run first mentality. But Washington's the explosive team in this game through the air. I think they are the explosive team on the ground. But I like Washington 24-17. And the first footnote is they trail in this game, 10-0 early. There's a bit of an avalanche to start this game. And the part of the footnote here for me is not being down, is being down because of they turn the ball over early. They give it up in their own territory. They're not going to play another perfectly clean football game. I don't know that they have to. They can't be -4 or -3 or -2. There's something about this game that I feel like Philadelphia is going to struggle to score and that Washington never struggles to score. They're going to be down early. They're going to turn the ball over at some point early in the game, and it's going to be 10-0, right off the bat. But they won't fold. It's not been their style. They come back and win 24-17. The statistical, the number footnote in terms of yardage or completions or touchdowns is I've got this defense stepping up and playing the game of the year. I have them holding Saquon Barkley to under 100 yards in the game. Big part of this is the condition of Jalen Hurts. If he can't be a runner for them, I think Washington isn't going to fear Jalen Hurts as a passer, and I think they can crowd the box and stop the run. Now, it doesn't always work for them when they crowd the box, but in the second half of that Eagles game on December 26th, Saquon Barkley carried 16 times for 29 yards. So I like Washington's defense to step up and have the best legitimate game. Five turnovers is awesome last week. They were also run over by a freight train on offense and had no chance of getting off the field without the turnovers. So I like the defense to be a very unsung kind of step-up hero in this game, keeping Barkley under 100. Washington to Super Bowl 59, 24-17. Denton.
Why not us, Kevin? I was confident last week. I'm not all that less confident this week. I think Washington goes and they get it done. Having the win against Philadelphia already this year in the back pocket, I think, makes this matchup far less frightening. That monster is far less smaller. I think Washington goes. I think they get it done. I do think they score more than you have them scoring. I do think the over ends up hitting in this one. I'm going to go 30-24. Washington wins. Another great game from Jaden. I think this is the game where Terry McLaurin really shines on offense. I'm talking multiple touchdowns, above 100 yards, sort of those that elite playoff performance. But my footnote here comes on the defensive side. I gave you Jeremy Chinn for an interception last week, Kevin. It hit. I'm not saying I'm a genius. I'm just stating facts here. Marshon Lattimore is going to have a big interception in the fourth quarter. Didn't play great the first time. these two teams matched up, but it comes full circle. We've taken a lot of calls over the course of the last couple weeks, Kevin, kind of wondering, why did Adam Peters trade for this guy? He hasn't been all that great. I think there's going to be some apologies on Monday when our team goes to the final game of the season, and it's thanks in part to a big Marshawn Lattimore interception. So I think Washington gets it done. I think we're celebrating on Monday.
Who knew? This show, the optimistic show. All right, Kevin in Arlington, what do you got? Final score, and what do you really feel about this game? Give us a footnote.
Thanks, Kevin, for taking my call. Well, the first thing I really feel is I can't believe we're here. I never thought in my 60s we'd be back here. So thank God for that and the hog and everything that's happened since that idiot Snyder had to sell. But to me, I think we're going to keep it within two scores. I don't think they will ever get a three-score lead on us in this contest. I see us winning it late 27-23. That means the defense is forcing three field goals instead of touchdowns on three drives. And it also means we're not going for a tie to force OT. We're going to win it late to go home 27-23 and to win the biggest road game in Redskins Commanders history. But my footnote, and I haven't heard anyone really talking about it, it's because our defensive approach with the run game has not succeeded. But John Allen didn't play in either Eagles game.
Right.
And he is a clutch guy. And I've been following him. I was born in Tuscaloosa. I always rooted for Alabama. I've been following all his career.
I didn't know that.
And, yeah, my dad went to grad school there. So I just feel John Allen is going to be a difference maker. Just like Denton feels it's going to be Lattimore, I think it's going to be Allen to not let Barkley or Hurts destroy us in terms of getting off for big yardage time and time again. That's the key to winning this game, in my opinion.
Thanks, Kev. Appreciate it. Enjoy it. By the way, you're going for the win. Can you imagine if it's 23-20 late Philadelphia and Washington's got like a 4th-and-3 at their 14-yard line with a minute to go and they go for it instead of kicking the field goal? I don't think any of us would have a problem with it, but man, part of me thinks they might do that. Ronnie, go ahead.
Hey, Kev, good morning. I'm the exact opposite. I felt 91. I'm nervous as anything. I can't believe we're in this situation right now. I think we're going to win 31-21 and send Ron his ring. And I just want us to win on Sunday. This is something special. I want to keep riding this momentum, and let's get it done, boys. Anytime, anywhere, any place. Let's go, Kev. Let's get it, man.
All right, Ronnie. Ivan, go ahead.
Kevin, what's up, man? How you doing, man?
How are you,
hey,
Ivan?
I got a prediction for you. Number 5 will bring us to 5 Super Bowls, and likely more if we get this one. But he's going to get us to 5 Super Bowls, Kevin. Hey, listen, the score I got is Washington 30-23, a point off of, I'm sorry,
Denton's.
And then the caveat or the footnote is Washington will run the clock out with the ball on a 2 or 3 minute drive, and Philly can't get the ball back to score. Hey, Kevin, number 3, we have to win the turnover battle, Kevin. The defense, to me, at a great time, they appear to be settling down to the turnover identity that Dan Quinn teams were known for in Dallas.
They've gotten big ones in these two playoff games.
Yeah, we don't have a dominant defensive team, but we're starting to have playmakers that are starting to have moments that change the momentum, Kevin. And then the last point I want to make is Dan Quinn should plant the seed that A.J. Brown cannot be allowed to push off to create space or cause pass interference. He had a Lattimore in a headlock the last time. I mean, they can't. Well, that's right.
One of those was a bad call. I agree. All right, go. You know, you live the life of leisure. So head out to the golf course, and you'll be back Sunday, Ivan. Well, 30-23. We haven't had anybody pick Philly yet. Billy, go ahead. Final score prediction with one footnote. I want to get through the rest of these calls. Go.
Kevin, in 1993, Brian Mitchell fumbled the ball, and my first reaction was empathy for him because
he didn't fumble. Rip lost the ball. The ball came out of Rip's hands before he handed it to Mitchell.
There was an exchange, and the exchange failed. There was not anger. It was just disappointment and empathy for those guys because they had all given us so much.
Yeah.
How much we love those teams and how much we love those freaking players. And that's the way I feel about this team. It's the first time since 1993 that I look at these guys
And I just I feel joyful with them. I feel like I share their passion for playing the way they're playing. We're beating the Eagles. We're going to beat the Eagles 35-10. It's going to be silent in Philly. And the one highlight is Jaden Daniels is going to be Super Bowl MVP. Let's go.
All right. Well, that's 2 weeks from Sunday. John in Oklahoma. John, final score prediction with a footnote. Go.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call, Kevin. We're going to hang 43, 44 points on them. There's 26, 27, their score. Our time, we're due. This is our most important game ever against the Eagles. We beat Dallas twice. We failed against the Giants. It's our turn to win the most important game in our division. This is our division now, Kevin, and we're going to beat them. And we're going to pick up where we left off. We had five turnovers and hung 36 points on them. It took us to the second half to crowd the line of scrimmage, put eight in the box. They're going to do that from the start now. And Jalen is hurt. We know that. And they just can't keep up with us, Kevin. I mean, they just can't keep up.
All right, John.
Plus,
thanks.
Kevin, on top of that, we're going to be there, Kevin. Me, my grandson, and one of my son-in-law. So,
oh, nice.
Call, Kevin.
That's good, John. Appreciate that. Chris, go ahead.
Oh, my gosh, Kev. Living in Delaware, this has been the longest week of my life dealing with the Birds fans.
Yeah.
And my suspicion is that the next week and the following week will be the longest 2 weeks of my life waiting for the Super Bowl, because we're going 27-26. My footnote is the side of the football that no one has talked about all week, and you had him on earlier this week. Jamison Crowder has a big return, almost a touchdown, but it's a game-changing field possession return. We're going to the Super Bowl, Kev! Come on, man! Let's go!
Chris in Delaware, everybody. Let's go to Ross. Ross, go ahead. Final score prediction with a footnote.
Hey, the last time a Dan Quinn-led team went to Lincoln Financial, he came up short. It's the revenge game. We're going to win this game 28-14 with the footnote being Jalen Hurts is more hurt than they are leading on. He gets knocked out of the game. It's 21-21 late in the fourth quarter. They're asking if Kenny Pickett to drive the ball down the field. Mikey Sarviso is going to pick six on the same way Rondae Barber picked six McNabb in the 2002 NFC Championship game. And we're going to win this game. We out of here. Why not us? Let's do it.
That's a good one. Dan Quinn, by the way, and his Atlanta Falcons in a playoff game back in 2017 lost in Philadelphia 15-10. But you know what? Julio Jones was wide open and should have come down with the catch in the end zone. Dan, finish it up for us. Final score prediction with a footnote.
Thanks, Kevin. Unreal, we're here, man. 31-14. I don't really think it's going to be close. I think Jaden and the crew is just so hot right now. My footnote is Hurts has at least two turnovers himself, fumble or pick. Philly hasn't played great offensive ball at home this year besides that Dallas game, and I think we're just going to smoke them off the get-go. Let's go.
Appreciate it. Not one Philadelphia prediction. Not one.
Surely you didn't think the fans here are going to predict Philly.
I'll tell you what. I mean, there have been a couple of big games over the years. We haven't had a lot of them. There have been a couple of them. Even, you know, this year, if we go back to early in the year, there were a couple of people that just didn't see it. They didn't believe it when they played Philly the first time, when they played Pittsburgh, when they played Baltimore. There is definitely a level of belief in this team, both out there and among the fan base, that I've not witnessed in a long, long time. By the way, it was Bill Walton who said that the DMV was the late, great Bill Walton, that the DMV was Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. All right, we will be here on Monday. Cannot wait for the game Sunday. Denton and I both think they win the game. I look, no result this weekend, honestly, is going to shock me. These are two evenly matched games. Nobody's a massive favorite in either one of these games. And really, the hottest team among the four is our team. Philadelphia banged up is a factor at quarterback on Sunday. All right, let's go to the Super Bowl. Back on Monday, Chris Russell's swing at it next. Rock, 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 hey.